Hello and welcome back to Burger Bounce, a podcast by Steak and Honour. It's episode 5 of series 3 today, and I chat to Alex and Mel from the Michelin-starred Restaurant 22 in Cambridge. This episode is super chatty, super fun, and pretty long, actually. So grab yourself a cuppa and settle down and enjoy. I'm here today with Alex Olivia, co-owner of Restaurant 22, and Melissa Clench, who's the assistant manager at Restaurant 22. We are upstairs. Is this the private dining room?
Yeah, it is,
yeah. So it's lovely. It's just a gorgeous restaurant when you come in. Although when I came in earlier, the dog's there. It's all very cash. It felt like someone's front room.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. But such a beautiful space you've got here. It's amazing. Thanks for coming on and taking the time, because I know you guys are super busy. Firstly, I always start with this question, because I love it. There's a dog here. What's your doggies called? What are they called?
So we've got Dougie, our Cavapoo, and Winnie, our Dachshund.
Yeah. They are absolutely adorable.
They
ridiculous.
Think
it's
part
of the
it's ridiculous.
He's the origin. Yeah, the original baby.
They are so sweet. I can't. He looks so regal.
He does. He is.
They're essential to all of our well-being.
Our daily life.
Yeah.
They nurture us.
They give us love. And
they give us everything.
Oh, so sweet. Yes, sorry, dogs got distracted. Childhood food memories. Where did you both grow up? And what type of food were you obsessed with, or that you loved eating, or that you remember, like, your parents cooking? I want it all the info to see where we're at with that.
I think Mel should go first on this one, because I have never known anyone to love food as much as
And
it's amazing. Her love and passion for food honestly blows me away.
Every waking moment I spend thinking about what I'm going to eat, and then the meal following that.
She takes just so much joy in food.
Yeah,
which
I love
so
it. So you are the perfect guest.
Yeah.
You're literally the perfect guest. I love this.
Yeah.
So
Let's
go.
Okay, so I have enjoyed food from a very, very young age. I think partially because my parents got me into cooking from basically as early as I can remember. We would cook home-cooked meals like every single day. Mum and Dad, both of them, my mum's background and her heritage is Caribbean, so I've always been very lucky to have some incredible influences from that kind of West Indian style of cooking in my life. And then my dad was just a keen cook, always exploring with like Asian cuisine, Indian, literally anything. So we were very spoiled in that we got to have whatever we wanted. And every Sunday we would bake as well. So we'd make cakes, literally anything, basically.
Mel's dad's cherry and almond cake is legendary.
It's legendary,
isn't
it? That was what I was going to say. Yeah.
Cherry and almond cake.
Cherry and almond cake, okay. Yeah. We had some like OG cookbooks. I think back in the 90s, Sainsbury's released a set of cookbooks. Like there's like home baking, all different kinds. To look at them now, you probably think,
yeah,
literally like Indian cuisine, Chinese cuisine. It was a bit rogue looking back at it, but at the time, like they were like state of the art. Yeah,
yeah.
We'd be flicking through the books, choosing something to make, and it was always just bang on. My dad would make cherry and almond cake.
Yeah.
He'd make something called red cooked beef, which was like basically like slow braised like Chinese beef with like vegetables and like
red cooked
beef. Yeah.
So was it like aniseedy, like star anise?
It was more like Mongolian. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like Mongolian, kind of like sticky, rich, super tender, with like over fluffy like long grain rice. It was sensational.
Great.
Yeah, it was amazing. Then mum's side of the family, obviously, like I said, I've been very lucky to be involved in that kind of cuisine as well. Anytime there was a family function, my nan's cooking rum cake. She's making rum cake. It's like 90% rum, 10% cake. Mum's like, you're not allowed to slice that. Up to the age of 10, she's like, you can't have that. It's too much rum. We've got like saltfish cakes, rice and peas, obviously chicken of every variety you can imagine. Like Easter Sundays, we'd have like very traditional like fish. Just all that kind of stuff. Very lucky to have a Caribbean influence in my life. It was.
It sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Like my childhood food was
boring yeah. in comparison.
Yeah, yeah. I feel literally. Like I've been totally immersed in so many different cuisines. Like this, the hospitality is really my only option. Like, it just makes sense.
It's gotta be about food.
Because I couldn't be like working an office job and be like, so I'm cooking a 7-hour slow cooked beef for dinner. It's just, yeah.
Because people would be like, don't care.
Yeah.
I'm having a ready meal later.
Yeah, I'm having cheese on toast for dinner. Yeah. Like, no.
Still now, when you go to family parties, you always like talk about those amazing dishes.
We're like turning ribs. Up. Yeah, that's like the highlight of dinner. Like my obviously my mum's cooking is incredible, but her sister, my auntie, makes the most insane ribs.
Yeah, she cooks that's it.
Garlic prawns, ribs. Oh, like we used to go to hers for Boxing Day, and I'd always be like, my plate would be like a mound, and I'm going back for seconds, thirds every time. And people are fighting for the last scraps of food. You know,
so I just love that.
It's
I love that
amazing. Yeah,
so it brings so much joy.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's it.
It is, and it's bringing like it's that families as well.
Exactly.
It's it has that such that, and I talk about it all the time on here, but that nostalgia and bringing families together and having those memories that you can talk about forever. Because when you're with your family, oh, do you remember that time?
Yeah.
And then even if there was like a mistake, it's like, ha, do you remember
the
time? The prawns went wrong, and it's like something that you can all talk about and you can all be involved
with. Exactly.
And
100%. All of the memories, there's something that involves food. Every single there's always something.
I love it.
Like, either the meal that we had or people came for the meal, we had a dinner party, and then all of the things that that evolved from that, you know. It's just always like the foundation of a good time.
Yeah,
really,
of course it is.
Would you have like baking, so you would literally help do the baking
from
on a Sunday?
To the point where I was too small to even reach the counter. Like, we'd be sat on the counter and they'd be like, mix this. It was just like the happiest memory. Even when like my nan would join in, we'd have, now Alex knows I'm a big fan of trifle. I've got a serious trifle addiction, and it goes like way beyond anything I'd want to admit.
It's so random, isn't it, in this day and age, a trifle addiction.
This is the kind of stuff I love. I get off on this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I can't get enough of it. So every Christmas or any occasion, I'll be like, is there going to be trifle? Like, don't mention the T word, you know?
What was in your trifle? Let's get the layers.
Okay.
Let's talk about the layers.
So we're starting, obviously, this is like early noughties. So people were kind of venturing out with Swiss roll, but I'm a sponge finger girl.
Classic
I need those sponge fingers. Sponge fingers. Depending on how many people the trifle is for, maybe one, potentially two layers of jelly. There will be.
Wait, but this is where me and Mel have a bone of contention.
Yes.
Mel has a love for citrus and orange jelly.
Yeah.
And I find it.
She despises it.
No.
I love that.
Strawberry and raspberry girl all the way.
Strawberry and raspberry.
So this is just the only point that we disagree
we're drawing.
At the moment, I'm in the Alex camp.
But apart from that,
we're
any jelly, I'm not opposed. I'll even take lime. I'll take blackcurrant. You know what I mean? I'm not complaining. It's concerning.
I'd go blackcurrant actually.
Blackcurrant
I could do. Lime. It's got to be sponge fingers at the bottom, preferably orange jelly. But really, if it was Christmas time and we've got that fancy, you know, the crystal cut bowls.
Yes.
You've got the sponge fingers, it's strawberry jelly with peach halves. Then bird's custard made
proper
thick bird's custard to the point where you can cut through it.
Yeah. And does it have to be birds?
Yeah.
We use ambrosia.
Or ambrosia's fine, but it's got to be so thick that you can taste the corn flour a little bit. You know? You put the sugar in, but it's got that kind of, you know? Then, like, at least 800 ml of cream on top. Then chocolate shavings and a single glacé cherry.
Yeah.
And that's it.
This is literally my dad is the trifle king in our house.
Ooh,
he's got more than one. He's got more than one trifle dish. Some of them are like 90 years old because they were his grandparents, right? And whenever we go over with my kids, they'll be like, Dad, can you do a trifle? They go, I'll do a trifle for the kids.
I'll do a trifle for the kids. We know.
Yeah, and it's basically exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fingers.
Essential.
Red jelly,
peaches,
never anything else. Never sherry in it.
No.
Like,
that's it.
So no booze.
I don't want any
no
booze in my dessert.
No,
no booze in my dessert.
Yeah,
absolutely
the same.
I've had a trifle at a restaurant before, like an old style English restaurant, and they brought around a dessert trolley. I said trifle, I'll be having that, and I picked it up before it even got to my mouth. I could smell the sherry.
It's not for me. I don't like it. Ours is exactly the same, except for on the top. My dad does do chocolate shavings. Sometimes I do like an almond
Crumb with a texture. That's controversial. Yeah. I like it. I'm yet to venture into the nut trifle.
It's good.
Yeah. That's fine.
I like this. So yeah, I'm completely on board with this trifle. Okay. This is
it's an addiction.
Any party we have, I was like, oh, can I bring a trifle?
Any excuse to make a trifle. And then if there's leftovers, I'll be having it for breakfast. Yeah. I'll be having it for lunch. I'm like, just gonna nip to the fridge quickly.
It'll be 1 a.m. and we'll all be playing beer pong and Mel will be at the bottom of the room like eating the trifle.
Stop it. You're outing me. I've got no interest in those late night shots. I just want trifle. Maybe some
shots of trifle. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I love that. That's amazing. What about you, Alex?
Oh, I feel like mine's so boring now compared to
I feel like everyone else is just gonna eat ever.
No. So I have always had a really sweet tooth.
Yeah.
So my main food memories are all just dessert related.
Okay.
So like bread and butter pudding, to be custard, none of this ice cream lark.
Yeah,
my mum still does actually make an apple crumble every week. Stop my dad with like a thick crumble layer.
I am so about three quarters crumble, a quarter apple.
Yeah, 100%.
About that life.
It's all about that life. Yeah. So like you were saying about those old school cookbooks.
Yeah.
My mum has still got her old school cookbooks.
Yeah.
And there's like one particular recipe in there. And it's like an upside down cake with ricotta and peach. Oh my god, it's one of those ones
where the book's so old, you could put it like that on its spine and it would open to the page that you use every time.
They're like falling out.
Yeah, literally, That's how all of ours were as well, yeah.
So that was always great. And then just, like, we'd go to the seaside, donuts, like the basic sugar donuts.
Warm.
Anything like that. So my mum still is an absolute chocolate addict. Like any chocolate that goes to that house as a gift or whatever instantly gets hidden for her to eat at a later date. I'll get my dad a Toblerone. It's gone. He's like, what Toblerone? I've not seen it in so long. So I've inherited that chocolate addict. So I could eat nothing but chocolate and I'd be happy.
You love whole nuts,
I love
you?
It. Oh yeah, dairy milk whole nuts.
It's my favourite. Yes. That's my favourite.
Yeah. Oh my god, so good.
So happy.
So good. But then for savoury, so just like lasagna, do you know like classic?
Yeah, that's strong.
I'd have like the sauce pot at the end of the meal. Give me the pan with like the sauce left in it, bit of white bread. I'm away.
I'm
happy.
Yeah. The mop. Mopping up.
Because really, you're contributing to saving washing up.
Exactly.
There's no wastage. There's no wastage. And everybody's satiated.
Everyone's
it's a win-win
happy.
On
it's
every... Win-win.
I think with lasagna is my mum's favourite dish.
Yeah.
Because she just likes it. And also, she always says that she's eaten it with some really lovely people as well. So she associates it with lovely people.
Yeah.
Back in the day, my dad used to make lasagna. We used to have it at Sunday lunch sometimes.
Yeah,
like, instead of a roast, we'd have a big lasagna.
Yeah.
And he makes what I would call a sloppy lasagna.
Okay.
Which means you can have a baguette with it.
Yes. Nice. Yeah.
And you double your carby.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, so it's really wet and soggy.
Yeah,
and
you
like got the baguette and just the...
Yeah. Get it all in. Yeah.
But if you're having lasagna, you have to have garlic bread.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of salad on
I feel
the
like
side,
if you've gone to the effort of making a lasagna, you've got to have garlic bread.
You've got to have garlic bread.
And you put the salad, nobody's going to eat
it. No one's going to eat it. But
it's there.
Yeah, you just tick the box.
Yeah.
Although we went to a pub, it was really busy and it was like, what are we going to eat? And the kids were really hungry. And me and Leo had lasagna, chips and peas.
Oh,
nice.
All right.
It was absolutely banging. Yeah. It was banging.
Oh my God, I love it.
You're surprised by how excellent it is.
It was so
happy
good.
With it. Yeah. Sometimes the basics are just so hard.
Yeah, I was just thrilled. Yeah. I was thrilled with that like lunch. It was amazing.
Okay.
And no... Great chef, you know, like it just little square lasagna just plonked on the plate.
Yeah,
chips,
900 degrees.
Yeah,
would burn your mouth if you cut into it straight away.
Definitely,
but great.
Yeah,
but amazing.
Yeah, that's great.
So good. So you still like sweet stuff now? That's your thing.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's probably not as bad now as it used to be.
We're constantly fighting against our addiction towards sweets and chocolate.
Although last night I did eat a whole tub of Ben and Jerry's cookie dough.
That's okay. Mm. And that's okay, isn't it? That is okay.
That's okay.
As you should.
Yeah.
It has to be. Ben and Jerry's is designed to be consumed in one sitting.
Yeah. I could not. I'm not one of those people who could have it in the freezer for like 3 weeks.
No.
No, absolutely not. Who are those people?
As long as it occupies a space in my mind, yeah. It's going to be eaten.
It's going down.
If it's there, it gets eaten.
Yeah.
Gets it. If it's there, it gets it. It's getting it. If it's not, so don't. If it's not there, then I don't. So,
yeah.
Like, I love ice cream. Yeah. I just love ice cream.
Yeah, yeah.
Any which way.
Yeah.
And I love vanilla ice cream with chocolate sauce. Just dark chocolate sauce and vanilla ice cream. Do you remember the crackle sauce?
Yes. Yes. I was just going to say that. The treat crackles that in the blue bottle.
So good. Just love ice cream.
Yeah.
And I can't just, if I've got it in, I'm gonna eat
it's
it
gone,
because it's just so good,
so delicious,
so good.
Didn't you have pistachio?
I was just gonna say, M&S have got this pistachio West Country. I don't know. It wasn't around long enough for me to read the fine print. They've got this West Country cream or whatever it is, pistachio ice cream, and it's like a pale, like sage green colour with chunks of soft pistachio.
I didn't know there was actual pistachio in it.
It's got actual pistachio, but they're not hard. They're like perfectly soft, and it just makes for the most amazing eating experience. Yeah. It's in the same size tub as a Ben and Jerry's, and it did not last.
I need to go buy some ice cream. I need a pot or something.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
I even Haagen-Dazs. This is so kind of like dated, but they do a strawberry cheesecake.
I love it.
Yeah, oh my God, I love
it. With the big chunks of the cheesecake in it. Yeah.
It's all about the chunks.
I feel like ice cream these days has gone to another level. Like, I went to get some Ben and Jerry's a couple of weeks ago, and their range has expanded beyond anything that I've seen. Like, in Big Tesco, I looked in and it was just like a full freezer.
Big
Tesco.
We all know what you mean. We all know what you mean.
Not the extra. No. It was a big one.
Not Express. Yes. Big Tesco. And they had a whole freezer full of Ben and Jerry's with flavours that I've never even seen. Like Bananarama, all sorts of Chunky Monkey, all sorts of
Minty
crazy
Wonderland.
Yeah.
I love mint ice cream.
Yeah.
I love mint ice cream. Mint choc chip.
I absolutely love it. Can't get enough of it. I think mint choc chip's actually my favourite ice cream.
Yeah,
I would say.
I think it is.
Yeah. I would say it's number one or two for me.
Yeah.
I love mint choc chip.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Mint choc chip.
Can we have Ben and Jerry flavours?
Yeah. I can't remember them off of my head.
No.
Because there's so many.
Do you remember the Neapolitan in cardboard?
Yeah.
Do you remember them?
Oh, God. I might be a bit young for them. I don't know, but I've had.
I'm probably quite a lot older than you, actually. So I'm thinking my references. You'll be like, dad remembers those, but I don't.
Some of them, maybe.
Did you used to have choc ices?
Oh yeah, you know how you see all those posts on Facebook, like I want an ice cream, but Mum says we've got ice cream at home, and it's a broken choc ice that's been in the bottom of the freezer,
terrible.
In the paper wrapping.
Yes,
but I'll still eat it.
I mean, yeah,
I'll eat three. I'm not picky, to be honest.
Yeah, I would absolutely do the same.
Yeah,
we used to have a dog, little Westie, when I was a kid, and we'd get. A Neapolitan block.
Yeah.
And I like strawberry, my brother liked the chocolate, we'd share the vanilla. And so we'd have it, and then my mum would get the fold out the cardboard and put it on the kitchen floor, and then the dog would just lick it clean. Push it all around the kitchen and lick it clean.
I think it's the same concept as cleaning the lasagna dish with the bread. Saving washing up and it could go in recycling.
Everyone's
happy. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's so cute.
It's
absolutely. Great. I love that. What a great. Oh God, what a. I'm enjoying this immensely. Just want to say this. How did you guys get into the industry? So we'll go to Alex first this time. So give us a little rundown of how you got into. Well, how you got to kind of where you are today, I guess.
Yeah, okay. So a bit of a windy path, I guess. So way back when. I met Sam when we were working at our local pub, so the one down the road for me and the one in the next village for him. And he was the chef, I was the waitress.
And the rest is history.
I love this story, I love it.
It's so classic.
Yeah.
Such a cliche. So we had an amazing couple above us called Jack and Carolyn, and they Carolyn was incredible front of house. She just had this way about her where everyone was like drawn to her. She just knew what to say in every situation, just like handled things and was just great. Just a classic kind of maitre d' figure, but so warm and welcoming. And then Jack, her husband, is an amazing chef, quite classically trained. And then we were like their number twos, if you like. So obviously, so they actually, they went away for a weekend to Glastonbury, funnily enough. And it was like mine and Sam's first time in charge. And we got together after that weekend, so that was really cute.
Bearing in mind, you were young.
Yeah, you were like babies. I was 17, I think.
Yeah.
17 or 18. And this was the summer before I went to university. So then I was due to be going to university in Newcastle in the September, and we got together in the summer. And then we were like, oh God, like what do we do? Like Newcastle, so we come from the Midlands, so like Nottingham, Leicestershire, mm-hmm. and Newcastle's quite away from there. But we were like, it kind of wasn't ever a question of like whether we were going to stay together or not. We were just like, yeah, of course, like we'll just...
Without a doubt, it's we'll so romantic, it isn't it? I'm obsessed with this story.
You know when you know this... Yeah, carry on, yeah. I'm like fully invested already.
So then, I studied law at university, did 4 years in Newcastle, and Sam would... was in the meantime working, continued to work at the Crown, and then went to work at Hamilton Hall, which is a one Michelin star place nearby. And he would come up any day off he had, he'd come up and he'd pretend to be a student. So he'd like come into our lectures, or like we'd go on like massive nights out.
Back up. Nights out, I'm like, yeah, get it. Yeah. Come into your lectures.
Well, he's just kind of
the
like,
dedication is real.
Just, yeah. Just to come and like sit next to
just
you.
Sit next yeah. to us. So it's myself, my best friend Jasmine, would. He'd like come, just like come and hang out with us, and then he'd hang out with all the girls at the weekend. We'd go on like big nights out. So he like lived vicariously the student life through us, but didn't end up with student loans. So that's obviously
a win-win.
So then I graduated and went to London, and Sam moved to London as well, and worked at Maze, which is a one Michelin star Gordon Ramsay restaurant. And in the meantime, I was like, did law at uni, and then was going to qualify as a solicitor. So I did my training contract, mm-hmm. And then practiced law for like 3 years.
What
after.
Law? What type?
Commercial property. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty dull. And in the meantime, Sam was like working his way up through restaurants, but he'd always said that he wanted to have his own place, and I wasn't particularly like enthralled with law being.
I think
solicitor.
As well, it's difficult. Your schedules would have been
opposite. Exactly.
Me and Leo were the same in the beginning. Like,
yeah, of course.
Doing 9 to 5, and then Leo's getting the night bus in to go to work for 6 a.m. on the early shift. Yeah. And so for like years, you literally, you're
shifts
barely seeing.
Passing shifts.
Yeah, it was really, especially when he was in London at Maze, he was doing really long hours. So it was quite difficult. So we kind of, and I just thought, oh, do you know what? Like, let's just give it a go.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. And I had those like years of waitressing when I was younger, and I thought, yeah, I can... probably very naively thought, oh, I can do this. So then we so we started looking. So this was in 2017. I left my old job as a solicitor. Sam carried on working, and I like started putting a business plan together and looking for venues. And that's, we were living in Cambridge, he was commuting to London.
So why did you move up to Cambridge?
So when I did my training contract, it was in Peterborough. So a bit random, but frankly, it was the only place that had helped me. So Cambridge was like in the middle of the two of us.
Right.
So it was literally like we looked at a map, we saw that Cambridge was between London and Peterborough. I'm like, oh yeah, we'll just move there. Never been before. Just thought, oh yeah, let's do it. Came, looked round, got a house, and we just like settled and really liked it here for obvious reasons. It's so lovely. Yeah, so then... we were looking for a venue for ages, and it was just really difficult. Nothing came up. And then we spoke to an agent, and they were like, oh, we've got this place. And so we came to look around 22 and looked at it through, like, rose-tinted glasses, because we were a bit like, oh, we just want somewhere. And we were like, oh, this is perfect. It's already a restaurant. Didn't really take into account the fact that it's over 3 flights of stairs and... very, very small or anything else, but we were just like, yeah, let's go for it. And then we got the keys in January
2018,
yeah. And then we were put in touch with this one. And I remember so clearly the phone call, our first phone call.
Oh, man.
We were like...
So who put you in touch with Mel?
So I worked here with the previous owner.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, for 3 months. Yeah. I started in October 2017.
Yeah, we were so lucky. I always say, like, I think I did something right in the past life because Mel was like my gift from God.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I came.
She came like an angel.
Oh, I'm here, I'm here.
So we had the phone numbers for all the people that were working here when we took over. So we called Mel and...
Oh, God. Poor man.
You were in your allotment at the time, weren't you?
It was a super windy day. I used to have an allotment at Stourbridge Grove, which is just off Coldham's Lane. And it was a super windy day. I was there alone, digging through this mud in like mid-February of 2018. And it was miserable. And then my phone rang. I was like... muddy hands, like taking my gloves off with my teeth. I was like, hello.
And then I was like, oh, I mean, she sounds very enthusiastic, but is she a bit mad? We don't really know.
I was like, I'm on my allotment.
I'm on my allotment, who's this? And then we met, and then that was it, really. Then
we met at the Waterman.
Yeah. Mel was around for like the 6-8 weeks when we were doing the renovation.
Yeah.
And bless my mum and dad.
They
moved in here, moved in with us, and stayed with us for 2 months whilst we all did the renovation together. My dad was still working down in London.
The transformation was insane. Like, if you or anyone had been here before.
I'd not been before.
It was completely different. Like, it was completely different. The renovations that you performed in such a short space of time were, like, totally transformational.
And on an absolute shoestring as well. We did on such a budget.
Yeah.
But we... Yeah, so we all stayed here and just day
so you
and
were
night.
Living here to begin with?
Yes, we were living here to begin with in the studio upstairs, which is it's not a flat, it's just a room, isn't it? And we were using the restaurant kitchen and the restaurant bathrooms as our bathrooms, which is
mad. You know what? It is, but I love these stories. I just think it's one of those things that when you have a business and you start the business, you have to go through these times.
Yeah, of course.
Because then when times are good, which we will come to in a minute with you guys, you're like, life is good, this is good, we have worked so hard for it.
Yeah,
and so when you've come so far and when you can see, and like especially say for you, Mel, because you can kind of almost see probably... more clearly than Alex can, because you've been on the outside of it in a way.
Exactly.
That you can see even more clearly, like, how far these guys have come and how hard that they've worked and how hard you've worked, obviously, as well. But I just really love these... I just love these kind of stories of where people are just... They want to do their own business. They'll push themselves out of their comfort zones and they'll just work really hard and graft really hard to get what they kind of want.
Yeah.
And I love it. Yeah. And at detriment of other things.
Yeah.
Like there must have been holidays that was going, but you couldn't afford to. Weddings, but you couldn't go.
I cannot stress enough how much of a power couple Sam and Alex have for living in that studio. We'll show you afterwards. It's literally like as big as this room, basically. And starting a restaurant, something that neither of them had ever done before, and building it to what it is today, it's just like the most inspirational story.
But honestly,
we could never have done any of it without you.
It's just truly inspirational, and I couldn't think of a better couple to have done it.
I'm actually gone.
It's amazing. I'm just so.
But we couldn't have done it without these guys, without the team, because it was so hard that we so relied on you and Kaya and everyone else to.
But it's like Sam would have been obviously was in that industry. He'd worked, made sure he had all of his kind of like background and his experience and all that, but. You've gone from not that, did it when you were 16, to doing this.
But not only that, Alex manages all of the back of house things. It's any paperwork, talking to the banks, talking to everybody, like all of the customers. It's just like, it's insane. The amount of
feeling so good.
She's a boss bitch. I don't know how to summarize it other than that. Just like everything that you do, you've just taken in your stride, and like to see how much we've evolved from the very beginning. It's legendary.
I mean, we have
it
evolved.
Is. Yeah, it really is.
Thank you.
Like, it's iconic. That's all right.
When we
shout it from the rooftops.
I love that. I'm all about that. If you think it, you say
it.
You think it about somebody, say it. Because what's the point in not?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm all about that as well.
When we started, we just didn't really know what we were doing.
we were just
completely winging it.
Yeah, linking arms every day and just going head first into the storm.
And we had some wild times, which I'm sure we'll come on
we
to.
Can cover later on.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
What about you, Mel? How did you? So your mum and dad have kind of brought you up. So you always had this food kind of love in you.
Yeah.
At what point were you like, I think I might do this as a job?
It's not really as exciting as is it, and definitely not as romantic and not as exciting. My first job that I ever had, I was 14, and I come from a small town, similar to you to you guys.
Well, not in Cambridge.
Not in Cambridge. I hail from the beautiful Riverside town of March, if you've ever been there.
Right. I've not been to March, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, there's not much going on there. So at the ripe age of 14, it's the time in your life where you want pocket money, and your parents are like, well, maybe you should get a job.
Yeah.
So obviously with no CV, nothing, I went out with my mum and basically harassed local business owners asking for jobs, basically. And I managed to get one in this little cafe, just this small little cafe in the centre of town. And in the beginning, I was so nervous to do anything. Like, my boss is a lovely lady called Sue. It was called Jana's Cafe, but the lady who owned it was called Sue. we'd be like, you need to go and take an order from the table. And I'd go up to the table shaking with my notepad. I'd be like, what do you want? And they'd be like, sausage, eggs, beans. And I'd be like, sausage, eggs. And then I'd get back to Sue and she'd be like, you need to abbreviate. And I'd be like, I'm sorry. So it's nowhere near as romantic, to be honest. But I'm very grateful for those first days. Because she would always talk about, like, you need to just have common sense. Like, you just got to do things. It's not scary. Like, people are just here for a basic sausage, egg and beans,
I think you've kept that lesson because you've said that a few times.
Yeah, I have,
And it's true. In any job, you just need to use your common sense,
don't you? Yeah, and be honest, if you don't know what you're doing, just say it.
Completely agree. Like, it doesn't matter in whatever kind of... If you've made a mistake, you've made a mistake.
Yeah.
Someone can shout and have a go at you, but it's just like, well, I'm sorry, that's human being, I've made a mistake, I remember when I worked in London for a legal office, the owner was quite an old guy, and I'd made a mistake and I'd missed a date, and I'd realised this, and it hadn't gone completely, but basically I'd rectified it, so I'd realised I'd made a mistake, I'd gone to see the solicitor, I'd said, you need to file something today, because if not, the date's going to go, and we're going to... And then I went into the boss... and to the owner of the business and said, hiya, and he was like, all right. I was like, I've made a mistake, and he was like, okay, and I told him, and he was like, right, and what have you done? I said, well, I've done this, this and this, and he was like, okay, bye. Literally was like, fine. And everyone said to me, oh my god, why are you going to tell him? And I was like, because I've made a mistake. If I hadn't have told him and he found out, he would have gone absolutely crazy. And that almost taught me a lesson, because I thought, do you know what? And he was quite a hard, stern, kind of stern kind of guy, and he was absolutely fine with it. And I thought, that's it. If you're honest with someone, tell them what you made a mistake, tell them how you're going to make it better.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
What can you do?
They've got no legs to stand on. So that was my first job. And then as I got older, moved to Cambridge, had a couple of jobs around, but there was nowhere that I really properly enjoyed. Then I started here with the previous owner. And I was here for 3 months, and then it came to December, and he sat us all down and handed out these letters and said, and we all read them, and he basically said, like, I'm selling on, your employment is passing on to this lovely, virtuous young couple.
It was sold with
us. And he's like, over to them, basically.
And then we met.
That was it. The rest is history.
I've
been here. It'll be 6 years in October.
I love
that.
I was going to talk about women in hospitality, because obviously you're both, it's generally seen as a male-dominated industry. And just kind of... But I guess it's kind of different for you guys, because... you've kind of created your own bubble here in a way. So it's not like you've had to be in these kind of intense kitchens or intense environments because you've created something here yourselves. Was any of that, have you thought about a kind of atmosphere you want to create, what kind of like work balance that you want to create here? Because again, the industry is known as being really hard, really fast, like no one has a life outside of it and all of this. Is that something that has been a thought process for you?
Excited to speak on this.
For me, anyway, I always try and empower people as individuals. So I think it doesn't really matter where you come from, what sex you are, anything about you personally. Mm. It just matters that you're here. It matters that you're here, and we just want to make you feel good and that you can make the best of your life. And hopefully, we just try and empower people to do that and create an environment where people feel they can be the best of themselves, and we try and give opportunities to people to do that. I mean, obviously it can get stressful and the service on a Friday night when it's all kicking off. It is intense and it is high stress levels, and my dash hand is just giving me a little hiss, sorry. We try and calm things down, and certainly now I think it's a lot better than it was when we first opened. Mm. But it can be stressful, but also then sometimes situations are stressful and you just have to handle them, and you come out of them and you're like, yeah, that was hard, but we all did really well, and well done us. Mm. But we certainly just, if someone wants to be part of the team, then we'll do whatever we can to embrace them and let them flourish.
Mm. Alex's worded it so poignantly and so beautifully. I'm very happy to say, from the beginning as an employee, I feel like Alex and Sam have done, I don't even know what words to use, there's just absolutely no limit to how welcoming they are and how considerate they are of our needs. When I first started, I had neon pink hair, neon pink, actually.
It looked great.
It was neon pink. And as I've got older, I've got more tattoos. There's some people, there's certain industries where I kind of feel sorry for people because you're not allowed to express yourself through tattoos or having colourful hair, and people judge you based off of your external appearance. That's just not the case here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you look like. As long as you can contribute and benefit the team as a whole and work well with each other, you don't really care what we look like.
Oh, 100%. And I don't think anyone should. It's outrageous.
Yeah, it is. Especially in this day.
So not only that, but once again, you guys are so considerate of our needs individually. And
because I know you had January off, right?
Yeah.
You worked Christmas and then you got that time off. Because we came in, didn't we, for anniversary in between on the 29th. And we were just that's so good.
It's amazing.
To have a job where you can, again, having that conversation, guys, if we do this, it means you can get 6 weeks off people can go you had some members of staff that went to Thailand for a month or something.
I think it's
just a brilliant way of kind of showing your staff that you really appreciate them, that they get these extended periods of time where they have proper downtime, and it's not just a quick 2 days off here, 2 days off there.
That's it.
Because it's a high, it's a high kind of stress environment being in the industry as it is. I thought that was fantastic of you guys.
What we did with that was, so we're always kind of open to because we're lucky that it's our business, so we don't have anyone else to answer to. So we can kind of do what we want, I guess. And I'm just so highly conscious of how hard everyone works. It's hard to kind of describe, but if I always wish people would come and do a week here and they would just realise it is hard.
Because we're open 4 days a week, and then you'll get customers ringing why aren't you open on a Sunday? Why aren't you open on Monday? There's 15 of us here. You want us to work 7 days a week? Till the end of time.
We get that.
It's just mad. We have to take breaks. So we're always thinking, okay, how can we make this an option that people would want to do? Mm. So with the January thing, what we did was last year, we had kind of, I think it came from mine and Mel's chat that you said you wanted to go travelling
away.
We were like, okay, like how can we make this work without people leaving? So we said to everyone, if we work Christmas, and by Christmas I mean like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and we also opened on Tuesdays through December, so we did Tuesday to Saturday. We did have Boxing Day off a couple of days after that, didn't we?
It was the 26th to the 28th, I think it was.
Yeah. We said if you work these, you can have the whole of January off full pay. So it's like one for the other.
It was an anonymous vote though, wasn't
it? So we sent out a Survey Monkey. completely anonymous. Yeah. And everyone was like, 100%. So we
did it.
We
took the plunge.
Did the Christmas go well?
Yeah.
For you guys.
Yeah.
It was definitely worth doing.
It was the first time we've opened for Christmas, wasn't it? And it was really cute. It was really like to see everybody on Christmas Day pulling crackers and like wearing their Christmas hats.
It was so sweet.
And we had our special like sparkly scrunchies. There was decorations. It was just really nice.
Yeah. I feel like when me and Leo are older and our kids don't want to come home for Christmas, I would 100% book a lovely Christmas meal for me and him.
Why not?
Just to come, have a beautiful time,
and
then go back. I think it's a brilliant idea.
It's great, isn't it?
It was really fun. I'm really glad.
Are you going to do it again this year?
Not this year.
It's going to be like a
biannual.
We're very grateful for like our loyal customer base as well. Like we have a lot of regulars coming over Christmas to be like, oh my God, they're doing their first Christmas open. So loads of people came to support us on Christmas Day, didn't
they? So
who were there like even on our soft opening.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's cool.
Right, this is the question that, you know, again, this is going to be a hoot, I think.
Yeah.
So, any funny customer anecdotes?
Oh, God.
What are we talking about?
Is
there any kind of like little stories that are amusing that you'd like to share without naming names?
Yeah.
Then we're all ears, basically. Okay.
So, wait, Mel, you're going to have to tell the stories, but we, at the start, I don't know if it happens to everyone or it just happens here, but just so many wild things would happen with the guests.
Random things. No, and not even the guests, like just in the building. There was a time where I forgot to mention this earlier. There was a time where we were hoovering. We were hoovering between lunch and dinner. It sounds so rogue. And we were like hoovering the chairs, and you get that little tube attachment. And I turned around, left the room, and came back, and it was gone.
The tube was gone.
The tube attachment. The hoover was there, but the tube attachment was gone. It was gone.
We couldn't find it anywhere.
I couldn't find it yet. And it was big enough to be like, it's not on the floor. Yeah, I mean, it's gone. It was gone. And then it gets, you know, we just said, never mind, carried on. And then later on in the evening, about 7:30 p.m, there's a table sat, table four, and the hoover just falls down onto the floor from under someone's chair. And I was just
where did it?
And the customer was like
on the lamp, on the light.
I don't know.
And then we thought there was a ghost.
Yeah,
it sounds so.
I thought you were
going
to say that.
Maybe there was.
That's what it felt like.
And then
maybe
we found it in the toilet on the second floor.
Yeah, and the customers was like, "Do you need this?" And I was like, "Where did that come from?" I had to like hide my shock, and I was it was insane.
Bizarre.
Yeah, and they're like, "Do you need this?" I was like, "Where did you find that?"
But also, I think maybe we were just in such like a tired blur.
Yeah,
that we just didn't really know what was going on.
I don't know.
We chatted earlier about the stories that we can and can't say. So Mel's got some. Mel's got some good ones.
Okay, so the first one. So, like Alex was saying, in the opening times, I think it comes from like, you know, you're a new restaurant, people from everywhere and anywhere want to come and test you out and like see what you're about, you know, and we were just going with the flow, seeing what was occurring. And there was this guy that came in by himself for a meal, which isn't a regular
place.
Single diners. Yeah.
And so, then we love it because like, it's so nice for people to just take time to themselves to come and enjoy that.
And like, they feel comfortable enough to come in on their own.
Yeah,
exactly. And you could give them a really personal service then as well, can't you? So this guy comes in, middle-aged guy, you know, just has his meal. We thought, you know, he's got a bit of an interesting vibe. Complimenting the water. Bottled mineral water.
Yeah.
He was all about it. Every time he'd take a sip, even if there was no one at the table, he'd take a sip and he'd be like,
this is delicious.
His call is over to tell us how to do
this. He was like reading the label, like, this is amazing. And we were like,
it's so clear. It's like drinking crystals.
I was so much detail about the water.
He was all about it. But anyway, we didn't really
manage. We like it is great water.
Yeah, it's great. But okay, glad you're enjoying the water above everything else. That's fine. Then it gets to the end of the meal. You know, he's paid. We're asking everything. Did you enjoy everything? Blah, blah, blah. And he says, yeah. I just want to ask one thing of you, basically. He says, will you take a photo of me? And it's just Alex.
Yeah, everyone else had left.
Yeah,
it's just me and him.
Will you take a photo of me? Bearing in mind, this man had just been enjoying the water. He had no wine, no alcohol, nothing. And he says, so will you take a photo? She says, of course, yeah. Of course I will, no problem. So he hands over his phone and he says, well, take a photo of me and my date. And Alex is mentally preparing for him to put his arm around his imaginary friend.
So I genuinely thought he meant he had an imaginary friend who
that he'd been with him the whole time, that he was sharing the meal with. And then he proceeds to pull a Ziploc bag out of his top pocket with a single Medjool date
in it. Deadpan. So serious.
Yeah. He committed. And the fact that he'd waited for the whole meal. And he holds the bag like this, as Alex says. I don't know how you didn't
laugh. I just took the photo. In my head, I was like, what's going on? Where am I? Who am I? What's happening? Yeah,
I don't know.
He was so serious. Like, I don't know if it was a massive prank or what, but he did not give away
anything. He didn't flinch,
like smiling, like holding the date up next to him, like smiling at his date. So I took the photos.
Alex runs around the corner, she comes down the stairs, she's like, I was like, what's just happened? She was like, Mel, I don't know what's going on.
And then he just trotted off into the night.
Happiest, and we never seen him again.
Never seen him again.
Happiest Larry he was.
That is weird.
Honestly, it was.
He was so serious. That's why I just could not get over. Like he did not think it was funny.
Honestly, props to you, because if he'd have pulled that, I would have not been able to hide my laughter. Like I would have just been like, I can't contain myself in those kind of scenarios. So that's one story. Then we've got another one.
That's so weird. Like the weirdest
thing.
And then this one was like a few weeks later.
Yeah, I feel like maybe it's something to do with the full moon. Yeah, I don't know. But
maybe Mercury.
You had a glut of like random like weirdos coming.
Unique people come in clusters.
Yes,
they come in clusters. So another time we had a father son duo, or what we believe to be a father son duo.
Yeah,
Alex thought maybe it was like a.
I thought it was a couple, but I don't know.
We undecided. Yeah. We still debate about it. Father-son duo come in for a meal. Relatively normal. Did they have flights?
No, they had wine, because they had some quite expensive, nice wine. Yeah, a couple of bottles.
So they come in, they enjoy the meal. Then it gets to about halfway through the evening. I'm just minding my business in the stairwell. And the son comes to me. I'm like, oh, the toilet's that way. He's like, oh, actually, I need your help. I said, okay, what can I do for you? Honestly, at this point, I didn't know what he was going to say. And he's like, can I borrow some napkins? I said, yeah, what do you need them for? Have you had a spillage? Like, you know, there's something on the table. I'm looking around the corner to see if he spilled something. He's like, no. Well, I think I've broken my arm. I need to make a sling. I said, well, you've broken it here? He was like, no, earlier on in the day. And I was like, well, can you move your fingers? You know, just the usual first aid questions you would ask. And
he was like, so then
I thought, okay, well, so I grabbed some napkins and then I hand them to him. And we just kind of fashion a sling out of some napkins. Yeah, because we've got cotton napkins.
Yeah, I was going to say, linen.
So we fashion a sling out of these napkins, and he just goes back.
So the restaurant's obviously really small.
Yeah.
So everyone kind of like,
see what's going on. And it's one of those ones where people are eating and they're kind of looking.
What's going on?
So he, just be quiet for a second. I'm going to listen to what's going on So he sits back down at his table. You know, they continue the meal. I'm going downstairs saying, you don't believe what's just happened up there.
And this guy's got like four napkins. Yeah.
And it looks ridiculous because it's made of these like pristine white cotton napkins.
Across his arm?
What's his dad doing? Or the older gentleman?
Same vibe.
Very confusing. You know, he didn't look like he was in pain.
No, he was just minding his business. Yeah. I'm sure the wine helped with that, but still. True. So then, he sits back at his table. And I'm just, you know, trying to avoid eye contact. I'm still at the front desk on the iPad doing things, charging things. And he puts his good hand up and he goes, excuse me, are you controlling the music from there? I said, well, you can. Yeah. And he goes, can I put a song on? I said, oh, I'm afraid not. Yeah. At this point, the restaurant was relatively empty, so he put his hand up and spoke without me going over to his table. Mm-hmm. So the other people that were in the room were also hearing that as well. I said, I'm afraid not, sir. Like, we've just got to set players for the evening.
I don't know what he would have done.
I don't. Yeah, it could have been anything. Yeah. He could have played like Barbie Girl. He could have played Wu-Tang Clan, Nicki Minaj, Techno Rave. It could have been anything, you know? But we never got to find out because I didn't give him the opportunity. And then, you know, so that's another thing. I just said, sorry, I'm afraid not, sorry. Carry on the evening. They finish their meal, go over with the card machine, as you do, check how they've enjoyed everything. I said, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Kind of book you a taxi. He says, yeah, yeah. I need a taxi. I said, okay, where do you need to go? And he goes, well, Addenbrookes.
And off he went in his sling to Addenbrookes.
He left the sling behind.
He
took it off and left it behind.
And was the older chap was still with him?
Yeah.
And just didn't...
Didn't acknowledge it.
Didn't contribute.
Just like
really.
This was a completely normal thing.
Yeah. And they just got in the taxi, went to Addenbrookes.
This
once
happens
again.
So often. Like, something that we think is crazy happens, but... Yeah. Everyone else just seems to think it's normal. So I don't know if we're the crazy ones.
No, that's a bit... No. Yeah. Both of these are a bit crazy.
A bit weird.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. That's not like a normal...
It's not normal, is it?
Yeah.
It's not normal.
That's I love the normal. Fact that they're ones that you can say. Yeah. There must be...
There are others.
Yeah.
Which we
we'll cut it there.
We'll just leave it there. We'll do a, you know, maybe a late night version.
Yeah, maybe a late night version.
With wine.
Late.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Bizarre. Weird.
Yeah.
And funny.
Yeah.
You're so bizarre. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back to now this year.
Yeah.
Because you got a Michelin star.
Oh, so exciting.
Which I feel like we all knew was coming.
Oh, thank you.
But
thank you.
When it happened, we were at Hope. Leo was a live feed.
Oh, wow. Stop. Yeah. We were watching.
To see, like, you know, because we're just thinking, oh, you know, we didn't know. And I was like, what? And he's just like, and it was just so thrilling. It was thrilling for so many people. It was thrilling for Cambridge that you got it.
Yeah.
People like us in the industry were just so buzzing that you got it. Yeah. And I mean, it's a silly question, but how are you guys feeling?
I imagine like
great. It was epic for all of us.
It was sensational. The energy around it, like obviously Alex and Sam were at the ceremony itself.
Mm. So that was it. Whatchamacallit?
Silverstone.
That was it. Yeah.
Then the majority of the staff and chefs.
Were you here?
No, they were at the Waterman, but we'd had the potting shed.
Right.
And they put the live stream on the projector.
Yeah.
So all the chefs were there, and there's one video which we've posted on socials.
Yeah.
Of when they announced it, and all of the chefs just went completely mental, and it was just
it's such a special video.
The energy is unmatched, isn't it?
Yeah,
like, it was incomparable.
Yeah, it was such a special time.
Yeah,
and so that video just kind of encapsulates how we
all felt
about it,
and the way that we could react. That you couldn't, because there's
Sam,
you can't just get on your chair and start being like,
yes.
Yeah. But at home, like, we're all cheering. I was at home crying because I was looking after the dogs.
I had to look after
the
dogs.
Oh my god. Well, no, I didn't have to look after the dogs. I was with the dogs. I'm glad that they were with me. And you know, I was just like sobbing. It's one of those ones where you just, if you're by yourself, I just sat there, just like tears streamed down my face. I'm like, I can't believe it. It's just insane, isn't it?
And it was so.
Did you
not?
Did you?
No, we didn't. So what we knew. So we had the invite to the ceremony, but we didn't. Just because you've been invited doesn't necessarily mean you'll get a star, because they do other awards.
Yeah.
And also, there hadn't been a ceremony for like 3 years, and we were in the guide as just a place to be, but not a star place. So we thought. There's a chance, but we didn't know for definite. And we had the invite 2 weeks before the ceremony.
We were on holiday.
We were on holiday. And bless Sam, it was stress for me, but it was another level of stress for him. Because
so was this always his dream? Was this,
yeah.
So he's this it's is what
time.
He worked for
yeah.
when he was 6, 17,
yes.
going to these places.
Yeah.
He was like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That is so, I love that.
Dream.
Yeah.
And it was like, it has been difficult because... We didn't have a lot of money to open with. Like, our equipment is still fairly basic compared to what you can
a lot
get.
Of places,
yeah. And the kitchen is tiny. and so it was a bit... And then we had COVID bang in the middle. So we've kind of had all these things that have kind of been obstacles in the way. Mm. So for him to finally achieve his dream is just... And but it was all to do it together. It's just amazing.
It's sensational. It
really it's
is,
so good.
It really
but
is.
In those 2 weeks before, he was getting so many messages from people like, oh, have you been invited? Are you going?
Because it's one of those things where you're like, if we don't get one now, you kind of think, I hope we do.
Yeah.
But also like, well, I'm going to be there. And then what if I don't get one?
Exactly.
Because then that's like, what, that's awkward. Like, what then we're just there and then we've just got to go home.
All of the big shots there as well, like, talking.
No, I saw that Daniel Clifford was there, wasn't
he? Yeah. All of these, we stayed in the hotel, when we got to the lobby to check in, like, there was all these unbelievable chefs.
Yeah.
Like, people you've looked up to for years.
Yeah.
And you were just like, oh my goodness, like, you can't believe you're there. So I've got the most beat up car you've ever seen.
A Fiat Panda. She's beautiful.
Should we call her Amanda?
2012. Amanda the Panda. She's been through it.
She's had lots of knocks.
Her
dents.
Her external image does not convey how excellent she performs.
She's
internally.
always delivered.
Yeah, she's reliable.
She's very reliable. Yeah. We call her Amanda the Panda. And we rocked up to Silverstone in Amanda the Panda. And the car park was full.
Porsches.
Ferraris.
Ferraris.
Jaguar. Yeah. Just Lamborghini.
Aldi's. Like, all these amazing cars. So I was like, can we park at the back? It's just embarrassing.
Then you took a photo, didn't you?
Yeah, took a photo.
It's great.
With like Amanda the Panda surrounded by all these
sandwiched in by
cars.
A Range Rover and a Porsche.
Yeah. But we were like... So that was just an amazing experience. Just to be in the company of all those people was just amazing.
Yeah.
And we were like desperately like trying to FaceTime the guy.
Yeah.
And so the couple of hours before, they did all this chat and everything.
Gosh, yeah.
And Sam Blessing was barely taking a breath. He was like,
yeah.
And then they announced it in like rounds of five.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think we were in second or third round. So when they finally said it, it was like relief as well, as much as just like
I cannot imagine like what must have been going through your head at that moment when you were like, it's coming, they're gonna and then when they actually say like Restaurant 22 Cambridge, I mean, it's just mad.
It's like white noise. It's like, you know, when a bomb goes off and everything's just like white noise, you just hear this ringing. That's what I can imagine. But it wasn't just Sam, like so many other new chefs that when they invite them to the stage, they're just like trembling, completely speechless. Yeah, they're like, I don't know what to say. And then they're like, well, are you feeling good? And they're like,
oh,
yeah.
I can't talk.
Yeah.
It's just such a big thing.
Yeah. It's the most desirable accolade,
of
isn't
course,
it?
Yeah.
It's the top of the top of the top of the top.
And you'll always be a Michelin-starred chef.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, obviously it's not going to happen, but even if, you know, you know, if you like chefs move on to different things, it's always there.
Yeah.
That accolade is always there. It's never going to go, you know, even the same with the restaurant. You know, you worked in a Michelin starred restaurant, it's always there.
For sure.
And I think that's, it's amazing. Yeah. It was a great, obviously, a great day for you guys.
Yeah.
But I felt like for Cambridge, you know,
we had so much love.
It was
blown away by the support.
Following,
it was amazing.
Following the ceremony, we got like the most. So many gifts. We were just inundated with cards and gifts.
Champagne.
And wine. Yeah, like the most.
Oh, the gin lab.
Oh, I saw that.
They made us this.
Engraved.
So we had a tailored gin, and then there's a beautiful engraved box
and a bottle as well. It was engraved, wasn't it?
And just like, and then some great cookies, which obviously we
were
loving.
Cakes. Yeah,
and just so much. And just like on social media that day, there was just. Hundreds of people,
thousands,
posting stories. It was so lovely. We felt so much support.
Yeah.
Because in Cambridge now, there's you with the star.
Yes, yeah.
And midsummer, and that's it. That's
And even like Cambridgeshire wider, I don't think
there's not that many. Yeah, there's not that many.
No.
It's strange, isn't it? Because I know in Suffolk, Pea Porridge got a star. Is it last year?
Yeah.
Not last year. And they're the only people in Suffolk to have a star.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
It's insane.
I thought Suffolk, you know, was kind of
one of those places
where, and I was really, just really surprised that there was only one place in Suffolk that had a star, basically.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's mad. I think, I love, I touched on this in another podcast, but I love... And we've spoken today about childhood foods and being so enthusiastic about these trifles. And I love...
Addiction.
And I love the whole... all of it. I love the Michelin-starred meals.
Yeah.
Where you go and you have this experience.
Yeah.
And like when me and Leo came here for our anniversary, it's special. You guys make it so special. The service is warm, but not stuffy.
No.
It's not too informal. My friends are coming, actually, on Thursday for their anniversary. free lunch. And she was like, can I wear my Birkenstocks? And I was like,
yeah.
Like, it's fine. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's, you know, but the food you're getting is exquisite.
Yeah.
And we had a fish dish when we came, and it was like the best fish dish I've ever had.
Was it monkfish or halibut?
Was it with the halibut?
No, it was a halibut. Yeah. Nice. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I just love that. I just love everything from the trifle all the way through and everything in between.
It's an all-encompassing, like sometimes you'll sit down like a trucker's calf and have like a greasy fry up for £3.50 and you just think like, this is the best thing I could be eating right now. And then sometimes you're sat in a two-star restaurant having the most exquisite experience of your life, and you're equally thinking like they both draw parallels with each other,
and I mean, that's my favourite.
It's not one or the other, is it?
We went to a restaurant, we went to Midsummer House not that long ago. I've never been before. We went for my friend's 40th, and we were just so looking forward to it. Like, I bought a new outfit. I was just like, this is going to be so cool. And it was amazing. And the food was fantastic. And I drank a Chinese Riesling.
Wow, oh my God, nice.
That's insane.
Because I like a Riesling.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's Chinese. And I was like, I'm having it.
Yeah.
It's from China.
Bring it to
a Chinese. And it was delicious. And I love stuff like that. Like,
it's just experience, isn't it?
Like, just
when would you find that in your daily life? You're not going to find that, are you? You're not going to look for that.
No, it's you just kind of like go away to another planet for a few hours, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, nothing else matters. You're just in that experience.
Yeah.
That's why we love it from this side, because we know that people have got all sorts going on in their daily lives.
Yeah. And people look for people look like months in advance.
People save up for it.
And it's a special occasion.
And we're so grateful that people come and choose to spend their time and their money with us. And so we try and like give them that special, put them in a little bubble for a few hours where they don't need to worry about anything else.
Yeah, like even like the small things we do, like topping up water, etc. Like, some people are taken aback by like us going to the table and topping up the water. They're like, you don't need to do that. I'm like, please, that's what we're here for. Like, just relax, you know. We don't want you to, or they'll be like, oh, should I keep this cutlery? And I'm like, absolutely not. No, I'll ring you more cutlery.
That's hospitality.
That is hospitality.
Yeah.
That's the tagline. Yeah. Alex Olivia, that is hospitality. But you're right. That's what it is. It's like, it's, you know, like that. I suppose in some ways people might see it as an old-fashioned thing, you know, like that. But that's what it is. If you're going to have an experience, which is what it is for lots of people, especially in this kind of environment, it makes it all that memorable. Memorable, and it makes you kind of have those just happy thoughts about when, oh, do you remember when we went there for our anniversary? Do you remember when we went there? You know, and it's, I love it. I love it. I'm having such a great time. This is a quick one before the last question. Favourite dishes on the menu at 22 now?
Right now. Can you go first?
Well, I feel basic because I could just say everything, like ranging from, I'll do a snack, a main. And it's just, does that count? So obviously it's the Gouge.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Pastry.
And anybody who's been
in one, happy days.
Full of
cheesy, sweet, crispy,
buttery, pastry,
warm. Garlicky. Is it warm?
Yeah, it's warm, yeah.
Delish.
Pumpkin seeds in one. It's just, what more could you want?
From
a mouthful, what could you want more than that?
Fair.
Absolutely nothing. Then you've got, I'm just going to say everything. I'm going to not say
Wait,
anything.
I'm going to say, I think, what you're going to say next. Bread.
Yeah.
Oh, that's mine.
Well, yeah. Well, I was going to say the Wagyu snack.
Okay.
The bread as well. It's always been, the bread has always been a highlight for us, even from the beginning. I mean, we used to have Guinness bread on the menu.
Yeah.
But now we've got this insane laminated brioche, which was in development for like 8 months.
Yeah, so long.
And it's been, because like Alex was saying, the kitchen's tiny. You see in those huge kitchens, they've got this massive laminator that like runs pastry through. We have to do it all by hand because we haven't got any room.
Wow.
Yeah. So Kyle, our sous chef, he is like the most talented chef you'll ever meet. He's unbelievably talented, and he has worked so hard on getting this brioche right. And it's like it would be perfectly in place in a 3-star or 2-star.
Yeah.
It's technically perfect, and it is just banging.
It's amazing. And because it's rolled, I'm like trying to demonstrate, it's rolled up like a croissant, basically.
Yeah.
it's butchering a pronunciation of croissant there, sorry about that. It's, you can like unroll it. So then when you get the butter and the chicken liver parfait, and then the centre of it is like, it's like a crab claw, you know, and then you get that succulent meat, you can eat that. But then once you've unrolled the rest of it, you can spread the whole thing with butter and chicken liver parfait and roll it back up again. And then just eat it. And
it's so good.
It's the most indulgent, it's like, so indulgent. Like,
but that's what you're here for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Butter.
It's amazing. And people come back for the bread and butter.
Yeah.
They do. Like, I'll ask them what their favourite is at the end, and they're like, is it bad to say bread and butter? And I'm like, no, here's some to take home.
Yeah. And then we give them a bit to take away.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I love
that. Yeah. So that, for me, it's the bread and butter.
And then, dessert as well, but I mean the lamb is amazing.
The main
and
the
scallop is amazing. We just, this new scallop dish has just come on, and it is out of this
world. I love scallop.
It's amazing.
I
just
love. If the scallops are on,
and the scallops
are
like
they're huge,
they're massive.
Orkneys. And they're with like a nam jim, a type of dressing, but they make theirs with gooseberry and elderflower.
Yeah,
so it's like that, still that British
and
influence.
And it's coriander oil, and then there's like green chili and
is
crispy
it seared?
Peanuts.
Like yeah.
In the pan,
but also scallop tartar on the side in a little spoon. So you eat the tartar first, then you have the scallop, and it's like tender. It's one of those ones where
sweet.
Scallops are sweet, and then it's one of those ones where you start eating it, and you have to be like, I need to slow down because otherwise I'm going to eat this
take it all in.
I need to close my eyes. I need to think about what's going on because you could just demolish it.
It's so amazing.
The problem.
Yeah, isn't it?
You just want to eat it.
Just like
you have to.
I want more.
Yeah, really be like careful. Cut it into small pieces so you can truly enjoy and think about.
But I think it's one of the things as well, when you come say here and you start eating, you think you always end the meal so full, but when you're halfway through you're thinking, oh, I could eat that again. Oh, I could
eat
that again.
Bring me
another one. Extra bread.
And you're just like, stop it. No, we don't need to do this.
You have to trust the chef. It's the process.
Trust the process.
Yeah.
Because you know by the end you'll just be like walking out. Yeah. You can barely move. And it's so easy. When stuff's so good, like like just that, you just kind of go,
it's amazing.
One of those. Or like,
And then dessert.
Like
we were saying earlier, obviously we're big fiends for the dessert. So we've got this mousse with caramelised banana jam, frangipane, hazelnut custard, and then salted milk ice cream, like the old fashioned salted milk ice cream.
This sounds amazing.
And then just a bit of truffle.
Yeah,
amazing.
Just a bit of truffle, because why not?
Do you know what I think is underrated in desserts?
Yeah.
Banana.
Yeah. Yes. Loads of people hate it.
So you say banana, I'm like, where you net?
Yeah, you never see it.
Can I just throw two words out there?
Yeah. Banoffee.
No.
Oh.
Peach Melba.
Stop it!
That's a bit
me.
Raspberry peach. Yeah. When do you ever see?
Nobody's doing it.
It's because it's summer, isn't it? It's like one of those summer things. Like if you were to say peach melba, people would be like, "Well, I don't know." It's like, well, you can enjoy whatever it is you're eating because I'll be having my peach melba.
But there's just certain things, and I feel like bananas. One of those things you rarely see. That's a poop, but it's and roast banana especially is delish.
It's like a little. So inside the mousse, it's like a disc of this caramelized banana jam, and it's not even like the main but like when you cut through it, you've got the cross section and you see each layer, and there's just that banana jam, and you taste it, and it's just with the salted milk ice cream, it's something else.
And it's like genius that these guys think of these things, who had that idea?
And the
blows my mind. Blows my mind.
And they change the menu so regularly, and like every time the dishes are just banging.
Yeah,
they're so.
The customers will be like, how do you think of that? And I'm like, I can't take credit for it because I don't have that level of imagination.
No.
I'm just here to enjoy it with you guys and serve it to you.
And
I'm
like,
and then I think, I wish I could be in your position to eat this again for the first time because you're about to have an out-of-body experience and I don't know what to say other than sit tight, you know?
Buckle up.
Yeah. Buckle up, guys.
Yeah. We're about to take you on a culinary journey. It's amazing. It really is.
I love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so peach melba.
Yeah,
Sam
okay,
could do
yeah,
something
we'll,
with that.
We'll talk.
Yeah, we'll leave it with us.
Yeah, because I feel like that needs to be brought back.
It's in the pipeline.
It's not enough, is it?
So
we're going to wrap things up on the last question, which is about burgers.
Yeah.
So, you like a burger, Mel?
Yeah.
I'm guessing. Like I'm just getting a wild guess.
Who isn't partial to a burger?
To a little burger.
I don't know.
Some people are burger lovers.
So, what's been your favourite burger you've ever had?
So, I feel like That's such a difficult question.
It can be more than one.
Yeah. So I was thinking about it, and up until last week, I was really pondering on the answer.
Yeah, you were.
And then Friday, was it Friday? Yeah, it was Friday.
Yeah, it was Friday.
Friday, for Star Food, one of our chefs made a buttermilk chicken fried Korean burger.
So yeah, man. Oh my god.
Housemade.
I love chicken Korean burger.
I feralized.
Yeah,
we all did. With homemade wedges, and it was on the plate, and they had the extra sauce, spring onion,
kimchi.
In that sweet brioche bun, yeah, housemade kimchi, I kind of went to a different place in that short blip between lunch and dinner service.
Yeah, so between lunch and dinner, we all sit down together and have tea and dinner, and they all take it in turn. So we were all sat around this big table and all having this experience
Everyone was being silent, yeah. It was like what's that word? Like a religious experience.
Like an epiphany.
Yeah.
It was absolutely banging.
We transcended.
Chicken buttermilk.
Everyone was quiet for a minute, which is rare.
Yeah, very rare.
And we were just, and I just kept saying, like, Sam, this is amazing. So one of our chefs, Sam Martin, he made it, and I just thought, like, you've gone above and beyond here.
Yeah, well done you.
It was sensational. So that's my answer for that.
I love that. That's recent as well.
On Friday. It really did.
Great. And it's a chicken burger. Because it's not quite a lot. It's beef people talk about. Yeah. So it's like a Korean chicken burger.
It was crispy buttermilk, so marinated, crispy fried, and then he tossed it in this sweet,
sticky,
like, sour, sticky,
covered
Korean sauce, and it was just amazing.
A little bit of heat from the kimchi.
And he made some sort of dressing, mayo, I don't know, that he spread on the brioche, and it was
absolutely amazing. Else,
yeah.
And we were all covered, weren't we?
Yeah, everyone's like, give me a seafoam, but we were all...
Bit of napkin.
We were all filthy by the end of it. The table was filthy. It was
the chairs were filthy.
It was
amazing.
Yeah.
Everything was filthy.
Yeah.
We loved it. Totally worth
it. Amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
What about you, Alex?
I was there for that experience, which was amazing. I've got two.
Okay, that's absolutely fine.
So, firstly, when me and Sam first moved to Cambridge, we lived just near the Gwydir Street Hot Numbers.
Yeah.
And one of the things that made us fall in love with Cambridge was the Steak and Honour vans at Gwydir on a Friday night.
Oh, stop it!
On jazz night, do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember.
And every Friday we'd
I used to work those
Did
nights.
Did you? I didn't know that you probably served us.
So, no, I'm a bit, maybe that might have been after my time. When we first parked there in 2013-14, it's a bit before you, I used to serve. Leo used to cook.
Yeah.
And I used to take the orders and do the garnish at that night.
Yeah.
And I used to deliver. I used to go run in and
so
like give people their burgers.
Yeah. It was so busy, wasn't it?
It was packed.
I love Hot Numbers. I love that Gwydir Street Hot Numbers.
It's such a cool venue.
Amazing venue.
That was one of our first kind of spots. And we didn't do fries. We only did burgers when we first started there. There was we didn't have the space.
That's iconic.
So we went with my whole family went for this jazz night, and my mum is a vegetarian and mainly eats chocolate, but she had the mushroom burger and she absolutely loved it and was so happy, and like my dad was loving his burger and we were loving our burger. It's just like a lovely memory for me, just that whole time, and just that Cambridge scene is like no other, isn't it?
That was
food bands and music, and it was so cool.
That was a really there's lots of people that first had our food there, and lots of people that will talk about that Hot Numbers kind of. We used to have like loads of queues, and people used to have to wait for ages when we first started, hour and a half. I used to be embarrassed.
It shows that what you're doing is good. Yeah. If people are willing to wait that long.
I know, but I remember being so embarrassed because
you
I'd be like,
a "Great time!"
I was like, "It's going to be an hour and a half."
Yeah,
and like inside, I'm like, sorry. Leo would have his back. He'd just be on the grill, cracking on.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, "I'm really sorry," and people would be like, "Yes, yeah, it's fine. It's going to drink." And I was like,
"Exactly."
But that kind of
And
it's, and because people are right there, I mean, obviously you guys are on the front line, you're serving people, but I haven't got really any experience in that. So when I started first, they're literally there.
Yeah, exactly.
And I used
to... They could say anything, couldn't they?
People would always be looking. They'd always be like, what are you doing? People would say, what sort... You know, we'd steam with the water.
Yeah,
people would say, what sauce is in that? And we'd be like, it's water. They're like, what? Gosh. They thought it would be like a sun that, you know. And
yeah.
Like,
yes.
No, it's just water steaming the butt. Like, so people would literally have conversations with about what we were doing. And it's like, yeah. It's like, you know, when they have that time where you're like, oh, the glory is.
Yeah.
Oh,
very wholesome. Yeah. Those wholesome,
like,
the honeymoon,
yeah. Like the rose tinted spectacles. Yeah. But, yeah,
and it was good probably time. Such hard work as well for you
sweating,
guys.
Sweating in
the time. Yeah. I used to get, I'm quite a chatty social person. Mm. But I remember, and again, you guys must feel this, when we'd 3 hours, we'd serve, and then we'd put the hatch down. And by the time the hatch was down, I would say to Leo, get the hatch down. I don't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I literally,
yeah,
I'm done. God, just get it down. Yeah. Get it down. Yeah. Yeah. And as soon as, and then people would still, like, come around and be, have you finished? We'd be like, yes, done.
Yeah, please, please go away.
Because I'd just be like, there.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
the mental.
Sometimes we'll find, on, at the end of a Saturday night, like, you close the door, and you just think, I've just been speaking gibberish for the last 40 minutes. These poor customers have been listening to me, but I can tell you what.
Because it's just, it's intense.
So intense.
Yeah. Really intense.
Yeah, and it can be quite difficult from, if you're having a bad day or something's going on, as soon as you step onto that restaurant floor, you have
that's got to go away.
Yeah. And I've been trying to think, actually, like, how to manage that for the guys. Like, if they're having a hard time, we don't want to have to put so much pressure on them to, like, go into the restaurant and, like, beam this smile on it's a tricky one, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I feel like it's never been a case of, like, I can barely hold myself together, you know, but I think we all feel so comfortable, like, if we need to take 5 minutes, then just go into the studio. Like, there's
it's when you're working for yourself, like, you know, if I said to Leo, like, I'm there, he'd probably say, put the hatch down for 5 minutes, we'll catch it up, and then put it back up again, and we'll open up. It's like, just do what you need to do.
You've got to do what you need to do. People will understand that. Yeah. Like, if you disappear for half an hour, no one's going to be like, well, where have you been?
Yeah,
you
know? No, exactly.
You just need to take that time for yourself, because at the end of the day, like, you are your most important
thing, isn't it? That's it. We wouldn't run without all of us, so it is important to take the time. So that was great memory. And then the second one was, this wasn't about the burger, it was more, again, about the memory. So after the Michelin ceremony on the... What day was it? On a Monday?
Tuesday.
So we left, like, we hadn't really slept because our phones have been, like, popping off and we've been having drinks and stuff. We left on the Tuesday to come back, and we knew we were going to head into an absolute storm. Like, my emails were going mental.
Yeah.
I knew, like, what we were coming back to in a great way, an exciting way. So we were like, we are starving, because we hadn't really eaten the day before because of the anxiety.
Yeah.
So we stopped at a Five Guys. I'd never had a Five Guys before.
Five Guys is decent.
And we walked in, and we must have looked like aliens. Like, didn't know where to go, didn't know where to order, didn't know, like, about the drinks thing, or peanuts,
and milkshakes.
It was all going on. But we went anyway. We had this Five Guys, and we just sat, just me and Sam, and just, like, tried to take in what had happened, and, like, have a minute, have 10-15 minutes of normality, just eating a burger, like, normal situation. No one else, obviously, in the place knew what had just happened.
Yeah.
Just to try and be, like normal, wow, people, we've achieved that now. Like, let's just, like, absorb it.
Have a bit of normality,
I didn't even eat my burger.
Did you not?
I had a bite of it and then wrapped it back up and took it with me, and then I think the dogs had it later.
She's the worst for that. She'd be like, oh, no, I'm not hungry, and then the dogs will be eating it.
They have great food.
The dogs are living La Vida Loca.
They're just like, here comes Alex, what's she got for me now?
He knows.
Oh,
he's the worst.
So bad for it.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah,
so
it's just like a really special
moment
for us. Yeah, to just sit and think, wow, we've actually... It was really hard, like, in the run-up. The hours that everyone's put in, and the commitment and the dedication and the consistency, like, there's no night off. You can't have a night off.
There's no room for error. There just isn't.
No room. Sam tastes every single thing that goes on every plate. He checks every plate before it leaves the restaurant. And we're talking, like, thousands and thousands of dishes.
Realistically, even in a day, it's hundreds of plates and thousands of bits of cutlery, hundreds of plates of food. Like, when a table of two is having... realistically 7 or 8 things between them, that's like already 16 plates, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And every single one of them gets checked.
Yeah.
And it's just like a, you know,
it's huge. So just to kind of, like, take it in. So yeah, that's my second
Burger memory. Oh, I love that. That's amazing. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you for
it's
having
us. It's been so fun. Yeah. I've had the best time. And yeah, just the best time. And congrats again. It's an amazing achievement.
Thank you.
To bring another star back to Cambridge.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But for you, for all of you, it's such an achievement. And long may it continue.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having us. It's been
exciting to reminisce.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
See you later.
Well, there you go. Another great episode. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again soon for another episode of Burger Bounce. Just to let you know, we've had some incredible past guests on Series 1 and Series 2. So if you haven't yet had a listen, go and check those episodes out. If you fancy grabbing a burger this week, our vans are parking up in and around Cambridge. Head to our socials at Steak and Honour for our full pitch schedule. We also have a restaurant on Wheeler Street in central Cambridge, right next to the Corn Exchange, with seating and a banging selection of local beers. Plus, you can find us serving at the Tivoli on Chesterton Road 7 days a week. To stay up to date with all our news and offers, head to our website, steakandhonour.co.uk, and sign up to our newsletter.